the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to St. Stephen's. We are very happy that you are able to join us for worship today. Because today is the closest Sunday to Remembrance Day, you will hear some reference in the service to that special day. Being the first Sunday in the month, can you believe it's already November? Today, Diane will lead us in the Holy Sacrament of Communion, and it's quite helpful for the flow of worship if you are prepared ahead of time with the elements of either bread or crackers and wine or juice. So if you need to pause this recording to go and prepare those, why don't you do that now? Please join me in today's call to worship. We are called across time and space. Jesus calls us to worship. We are called from beyond our families, communities, and societies. Jesus calls us to worship. We are called to give beyond what we think is our capacity. We are called to worship and serve God with our time, gifts, money, bodies, and souls. With open hearts and hands, we humble ourselves at the cross and offer all that we are to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in worship for the sake of His kingdom. If you have a practice of lighting a candle for worship, let's do that together and take a little bit of time to just be still and prepare for the rest of the service. Let us pray. Holy One, hearing your call, we come into your presence today with all our baggage, all our prejudices, all our brokenness, anxiety, and hurt. Help us to lay it all down at your feet, at the cross, Healer, Redeemer. Today, we remember and give thanks for those who have given their everything for the purpose of ensuring the freedoms we take for granted today. Let us never forget their sacrifice. In this time together today, bring your miracle of life and passion and instill them in our hearts to grow and strengthen our faith and trust in you. Have your way in us, we humbly pray, for your name's sake, Jesus. Amen. Would you please join me in today's prayer of confession? Eternal and merciful God, you have loved us with a love beyond our understanding, and you have set us on paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Yet, We have strayed from your way. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, through what we have done and what we have left undone. As we remember the lavish gift of your grace symbolized in baptism, O God, we praise you and give you thanks that you forgive us yet again. Grant us now, we pray, the grace to die daily to sin and to rise daily to new life in Christ, who lives and reigns with you and in whose strong name we pray. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news concerning the love and forgiveness of God. As far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgressions from us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as you choose again this day to love God and to love one another, know that God has forgiven you all that which is past and offers you freedom and a future and new life. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Every month, as we prepare to come to the Lord's table to participate in communion, we profess our faith by saying together one of the great creeds of the Church. Would you join me in saying the new creed? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the Church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Today's reading is from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 12, reading verses 38 to verse 44. As he taught them, he said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law, who like to walk around in their long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace, who choose the reserved seats in the synagogues and the best places at feasts. They take advantage of widows and rob them of their homes, and then make a show of saying long prayers. Their punishment will be all the worse." As Jesus sat near the temple treasury, he watched the people as they dropped their money. Many rich men dropped in a lot of money. Then a poor widow came along and dropped in two little copper coins worth about a penny. He called his disciples together and said to them, "I tell you that this poor widow put more in the offering box than all the others. For the others put in what they had to spare of their riches. But she, poor as she is, put in all she had. She gave all she had to live with." Here ends today's gospel. Thanks be to God.
Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace. I have to confess to feeling a little awkward standing here in my alb today. It's quite a start for a preacher to jump into. But awkward or not, here we are. And so here we go. This reading actually comes to us as part of an extended section describing what was probably Jesus' last visit to the temple. The air this day was thick with brewing conflict. Jesus was confronting the whole temple system, calling them out on all that was not in keeping with God's purposes. Our passage today actually has two rather brief parts, two separate scenes that happened in this tense day. In the first, Jesus has some harsh criticism for some religious leaders who seem to have lost their way and have slipped into serving their own egos. And in the second, Jesus is commending a widow who had given her last 2 cents as her offering. And he's encouraging his disciples to take particular notice of her and of people like her. Now, you might think that you already know where this sermon is going today. It is the story of the widow's offering, and we just happen to be right in the middle of our fall fundraising campaign. And so the connections probably seem quite obvious. Well, I hope that you're not disappointed to hear that that's not actually where we're going today. To preach that would have felt a bit like preaching to the proverbial choir. So instead of taking a whole sermon to say this, let me just encourage you to pray about how you are called to contribute to this fundraiser, and then to give as you sense God is leading you. And I thank God for your faithful following of his leading, whatever that may be. Instead, today, I'd actually like us to look more specifically at what Jesus was looking at in both of these scenes. He spent that day closely observing all that was happening, looking beyond the surface to see things that probably would have gone unnoticed by most of us. Case in point, as they're watching people make their offerings, most of the disciples would probably have noticed the wealthy people who brought the large offerings. They would have been drawn by the sound of the clatter and clang as those offerings dropped into the boxes. Without his help, they probably would have completely missed the widow that Jesus was noticing. It wasn't the noise of the coins that caught his attention. It was the heart of the one giving them. While the larger gifts would no doubt have been noticed and greatly appreciated by the temple officials, Jesus knew that giving them had not cost those wealthy people nearly as much as that widow's offering had cost her. Somehow he knew that she'd given all that she had left to the temple. He saw her profound act of faith. She must have been trusting that God was going to find a way to provide for her. And Jesus wanted his disciples to see this too, to see the incredible faithfulness that she was embodying with her sacrificial giving. Well, in the first part of our reading, as Jesus watches the teachers of the law, he's doing a similar kind of thing. He's noticing things that others may have been missing, although this time he's not commending what he sees. Many people looked at these teachers with deep respect. They saw educated men whose lives had been dedicated to teaching and practicing their faith and to helping others to do the same. But Jesus seemed to see something different, something he felt he needed to both confront them on and warn people about. While we aren't clear of the details of how this happened, it seems that some of those respected scribes and teachers were exploiting some vulnerable widows. Scholars think that some of the more unscrupulous teachers were likely taking advantage of the generosity of some widows who were financially supporting them. They were putting their own desire for influence and power and privilege over the well-being of those women. And as Jesus pointed out, that kind of behavior is completely contrary to God's heart, which is tender to the needs of people who are vulnerable, like widows tended to be in the ancient world. It was also completely contrary to God's purposes for the temple. And so we're left wondering why that widow in the second part of her offering would have given her last 2 coins to that institution. And even more, Why was Jesus commending her giving? Well, before we answer that, I need to say that I don't actually believe that Jesus wanted to see her left penniless and even more vulnerable than she already was. I find myself wondering if there might have been something more that happened after the end of our reading, something we don't hear about. I like to imagine some of Jesus' disciples following her out of the temple, catching up with her, and inviting her to join with them. Maybe God actually provided for her by tucking her into that community of Jesus' followers, a community that was very soon going to become the early church. It's not actually too far-fetched in imagining. That was common practice in the early church. So maybe that happened for this unnamed widow that day. But even if it did, it doesn't help to answer our burning question. Why was Jesus commending her giving? If we look a little further back in this same chapter at what happened earlier during this same visit to the temple, we find something that might help us to discover an answer to our question. Jesus had had an extended debate with the teachers of the law. And during that debate, one of them actually asked him what the most important commandment in the law was. Jesus answered, "Loving the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength is the most important. And along with it, loving your neighbor as yourself." He was very clear. These are the two most important things. The teacher who asked him that question actually agreed with him. And so Jesus assured him that because he did, he was not far from the kingdom of God, from the life God has created us all for. Loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. It's a really, really good thing to meditate regularly on what that looks like for you. What does it look like for you to love God with all your heart or with all your mind? In one of my own regular personal prayers, I'm often challenged by God on this. In that prayer, in the format of it, I pray that I might seek God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. And sometimes as I pray those things, I'm challenged to consider what it might actually look like for me to do that. What would it be like for me to seek God with my heart more fully than I already do, or with more of my strength than I'm giving? I've actually come to believe that in gently challenging me like this, God's actually inviting me to love him more deeply in some aspect of my life. It's actually been a really good thing for me. Some of our commentators argue that in giving her last two coins, that widow was actually loving God with all of her strength, quite literally giving all that she tangibly had left to give. And while it didn't add up to much in the eyes of the world, Jesus saw it as love beyond measure. This wasn't about money for Jesus. If it had been, he would have been commending those big givers. It was about love, especially how she was living out the command to love God. She was a poor widow. Her money was scarce. Yet she loved God, and she didn't withhold what little she had. And I actually think there's really something in that for us right now. Very few of us feel like we have a lot to give right now, whether it's money or energy or time or heart. We're a bit spent. And we feel like our strength has been depleted after a year and a half of trying to negotiate life in the middle of a global crisis. Like this widow, in our own way, perhaps not financially, but maybe in terms of other resources, our reserves are low. Simply, we aren't at our strongest by any means. And Jesus' words, well, they still remain true. As we seek God and God's kingdom, and all that we deeply trust will come with that kingdom life, the most important thing is still for us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Both of those things, spent or not, during a pandemic or after it's over, this is still the way Jesus leads us to life. So, how do we do that? I think the best place to start is by asking God. So again, this week, I am going to encourage you to try to find some time to sit with God in prayer. And as you do, ask God, how can I love you more? How can I love you with all my heart? How can I love you with all my soul? How can I love you with all of my mind? And perhaps now, most importantly, how can I love you with all of the strength that I have to give right now, God? Ask these things. Ask them one at a time. And after each, listen for a bit. Pay attention to what comes into your mind or stirs into your heart. It may come right away. Or it might not. It might come later as that comes back to your mind after your prayer time is done. But God wants us to love Him. And God is happy to talk to us about how we can do that. And so I'm pretty confident that if you ask, you might get a sense of how you can love God more fully. And in the process, you'll find yourself even closer to that kingdom we all long for and the wonderful life that exists there. Amen. Please pray with me. Gracious and ever-present God, we come to you today with hearts heavy for the things of the past and anxious and heavy for things of the future. As your people, we trust in your love and trust that you truly are able to do immeasurably more than all we can hope or imagine. And so faced with these burdens, we do what your people do and we bring them to you. Today, as we approach Remembrance Day, we pray for all who have suffered and continue to suffer as a result of conflict and war. We ask that you would grant peace for all those who have died in the violence of war, and for all those who knew and loved them and still grieve their loss. We pray for all who continue to serve in the armed forces of our nation, and we pray for their safe conduct and their return home to their families. We pray for all those whose lives have been impacted by wars of all kinds and ask that you would bring healing and restoration. We pray for those called to be peacekeepers and peacemakers. Grant them a special grace as they pursue peace for our world. And we dare to pray for the day when war will be no more and lasting peace will be assured worldwide. Today, God, we're also aware of the countries of this world gathered in Glasgow to try to find solutions to one of the biggest challenges of our future. We lift before you the COP climate talks and the future of this earth. We are sorry for the damage that has been done, But we come before you knowing that you are a God of mercy and a God of miracles. And so we pray for all those gathered in Scotland, that they would have true wisdom and courage to do what is right and fair. We pray that our common desire to protect the world would lead to good conversations, new learning, positive actions, and that all of this would bring about a strong sense of unity. We pray for those joining from countries who find themselves in the front lines, receiving the harshest impact of climate emergencies, for those who are experiencing the worst, and whose voices are often the last to be heard. We pray that they would be heard, and that their stories would carry weight and power. God, nothing is impossible or too late for you. So in the face of this crisis, we hold on to the hope we have found in you and in the surety of your promises to us. And we listen for your call to how we can each better love this world you have so generously given as our home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to Jesus' table. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right for us to give thanks and praise. It is truly right to glorify you, Father, and to give you thanks, for you alone are God, living and true, dwelling in light inaccessible from before time and forever. Fountain of all life and source of all goodness, you made all things and fill them with your blessing. You created them to rejoice in the splendor of your radiance. Countless throngs of angels stand before you to serve you night and day, and beholding the glory of your presence, they offer you unceasing praise. Joining with them and giving voice to every creature under heaven, we glorify your name and lift our voices in joyful praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. At his Last Supper, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This is the cup, the new covenant in my blood. So do this in remembrance of me." For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Eternal God, let your Holy Spirit move over us and over these earthly gifts of bread and juice from the vine, that our sharing of them may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ, and that we may become one in him. May his coming in glory find us ever watchful in prayer, strong in truth and love, and faithful in the breaking of the bread. Then at last all peoples will be free, all divisions healed, all creation restored, and together we will sing your praise through your Son, Jesus Christ. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer as Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to consume the elements you have in your home. Let's say together our prayer after communion. Lord, you have put gladness in our hearts. You have satisfied our hunger with good things. In giving all, you have not withheld from us your own dear Son. How can we withhold anything from you, our Lord and our God? Renew us day by day with the gift of your Spirit, that we may give ourselves completely to your service, and walk in joy in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We thank you again for your generous giving to the work and ministry of this church and to the Mission and Service Fund of the United Church of Canada. Would you please pray with me the prayer over these gifts, offering them up and dedicating them to God's purposes. O Lord, you graciously pour out your blessings on us. Your gifts surround us. Despite our abundance, help us to see the widow's gift, for we long to give as she did, gladly giving all she had. Help us to remember that all we have is a gift from your hand. Help us to loosen our hands and give to the work of the church on your behalf, for in freely giving to you, we gain the opportunity to live abundant lives. We dedicate these gifts to your service, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Two announcements for us this week. The first is a reminder that you received an email on Monday, if you are on the email list, regarding our annual fall fundraiser. I hope you will read that email and as I said in the sermon, consider praying about how you might be called to contribute. And in advance, we thank you for any contributions you may make. We had sad news this week of the passing of Mo Graham. Mo was a part of this congregation for a long time, but most recently had moved to the Lower Mainland to be closer to family. We're sorry to hear of his loss. We also know of another loss in the extended family of our congregation. Wanda Mahoney's daughter, Kelly, passed away last week. And so I wonder if you will join me in praying now for both of those families. Gracious and loving God, we lift up to you Mo's family and Kelly's family. And we pray and ask that you would be close, Jesus, that they would have a strong sense that they are not alone in this time, and an even stronger sense that Mo and Kelly are not alone and not gone, that they are with you, held fast in your loving arms. I pray, God, that the assurance of this and the deep sense of it would give both of those families a sense of comfort and a sense of peace. And mostly, Jesus, we ask that you would bless them with that strange promise of comfort beyond our understanding, comfort that comes from you as we mourn. God, call us to hold these families in prayer in the coming weeks as they get used to life without Mo and without Kelly here in the way that they once were. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, hear this. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord. Therefore, go out into the world to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as yourself. And may God sustain you. May Christ Jesus set you free to love. And may the Holy Spirit go with you where you go and protect you on your way. Go now in peace and in the name of Christ. Amen.